What's up, everybody? This is Will Pruitt here with the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast for August the 10th, 2012, and we're going to talk today about the August 9th, 2012 episode of TNA Impact Wrestling. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by ProWrestling.net, and if you want to become a member of ProWrestling.net, check it out. It is a fantastic subscription for you to pick up. It really is a tremendous value at $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out. $5.50 a month if you take the annual option. That'll save you $24 over the course of a year. And, you know, we all strongly suggest it. Most of us on the staff were actually members prior to starting to write for the site. It just kind of, we became members, started talking with Jason more in the forum via email, all that. All of the staff, really, especially with the members, not that we ignore emails from other people, but especially with members, all of the staff is very friendly, very cordial, very open, and ready to chat. So, and in the forum, the best place to do it, which is a perk of being a .NET member. Other perks include .NET member exclusive audio updates. Talking about the .NET weekly show where first run news is often broken with Chris Shore and Jason Powell. Talking about the .NET countdown with myself and Jake Barnett counting down the top five best and bottom three worst moments of the week. Talking about show reviews, Raw, SmackDown, Impact. Talking about a Q&A where Jason Powell actually, you know, if you ask him a question that's a little bit insider, he'll talk to his sources about it 9 times out of 10 and say, unless it's just an embarrassing question that he, you know, it would kind of ruin the things asked, but he will talk to his sources about it and say, hey, well, you know, can you tell me what the deal with this is? So, what I'm getting at here is ProWrestling.net membership for the forum, for the audio, for the member-exclusive news articles, for the ad-free access to the site. All of that stuff is a tremendous value, and you should check it out. Now, let's dive into this show. But before we do, I want to mention that I've got an adorable puppy on my lap. So, if it sounds like this cuts in and out or whatever at any point, I probably had to take the puppy out, or it started barking at landscapers or something, but if you need pictures of this puppy, check my Twitter feed, at It's Will Time, or check the .NET members forum for our Pruitt's Paws section. Guys, you knew I was going to work that into audio. Pruitt's Paws, like a puppy has paws? Yeah, my puppy's adorable. Her name is Luna. We rescued her last Saturday, so she's fairly new. Let's get into the show here, and the main theme of this show, it is the go-home show for the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view, and this was another show, I think the third or fourth in a row, that was all about Aces and Eights. It was purely just the Aces and Eights 2 hours. This varied a little bit, but there was always kind of a sense that the Aces and Eights, something involving them was going to happen soon, and you needed to get ready for it. And nothing really happened again. That, to me, was the biggest disappointment about this show. We saw video footage of the Aces and Eights on this show, and it can be now confirmed, Bane, yes, the Batman villain from The Dark Knight Rises, Bane is now a member of the Aces and Eights. We heard him talk, he had his mouth covered, so we're all fairly sure that Bane is a member of the Aces and Eights, which is chill. I mean, that's fantastic for him. I'm glad he kind of landed on his feet, got another career going. I'm interested to see how he does in the ring. You know, it looked like he worked kind of stiff with Batman and Dark Knight Rises, so should be really interesting to see what Bane ends up doing in the TNA ring and some good matchups for him. I have to wonder, now that we know that Bane is in the Aces and Eights, are the other Batman villains also in the group? Is Joker going to join them in the group? We saw a guy with very fluffy hair that could pull it off. Is Mr. Freeze going to join him? Is Two-Face in the group? All of them have their faces covered. One guy could have two. You know, Poison Ivy. Is Poison Ivy part of the Aces and Eights? Is she going to come out as like the Knockouts Division version of Aces and Eights? Man, there are so many questions here that arise now that we know that Bane is a member of the Aces and Eights. It gets pretty crazy. Also, who can stop them? I mean, Batman couldn't really handle these guys on his own. Is Batman going to come into TNA, team up with James Storm, and to stop these guys? Is that what I should expect to happen here pretty soon? If Batman's coming into TNA, man, I hope it's Christopher. Actually, no. Screw that. The Christopher Nolan Batman, no way. You know what, Batman, I hope it is? You know who I want to see? I want to see George Mother... Clooney! up in that joint as Batman. Can we talk about George Clooney as Batman on TNA here pretty soon? Thank you very much for that privilege and right. That is my Bane is in the Aces and Eights rant for you, and if you enjoyed that rant, you should become a .NET member, because I yell a lot. I guess that's the second part of the membership commercial. But really, the show was about Aces and Eights, and as a repeat from last week, they didn't show up, except for in video form. The doubt of James Storm continued this week. That did not get cleared up. And that, you guys, if you listen to this podcast or if you listened last week, you know my feelings. If you read my stuff on the site, you know my feelings. But I'll just break it down right quick for you. James Storm shouldn't be doubting himself. James Storm shouldn't be being doubted. He just went through a period of self-doubt as a character when he lost his smile and went to his ranch. Now you're going to put him through another period of self-doubt as he, you know, or of doubt in general, where people are doubting him. It's not the right time. I didn't feel like going back to the ranch was the right time for the character, and I definitely don't feel like this is the right time for the character. So, that's just a little sample of how I feel about this angle. But let's get into it from the top. Previously on Impact, Claire Lynch is a terrible actress. Yep, they really show a lot of Claire Lynch footage in that opening Previously on Impact thing. And I wonder if they think that's the hook for people that are left over from, like, the credits of the previous show. Like, oh, hey, if I stay tuned for the next 2 hours, I'm going to get to see some really bad acting. I'm in for bad acting. Hell yeah. Because that's how this Claire Lynch thing comes across as far as its involvement in the Previously on Impact segments. So, but we got that, and we got a recap of the Aces and Eights James Storm suspicion thing. And we went into the Impact Zone. Bully Ray came to the ring. And basically, saying that if there's a mountain of evidence against someone, they're guilty. He pointed the finger at James Storm, being guilty of being in Aces and Eights. And Storm interrupted him and joined Bully Ray in the ring. He said he's tired of being blamed and having his integrity questioned. He affirmed his innocence and said he's only worried about winning the Bound for Glory series. In this segment as well, James Storm recited the lyrics to his theme song. Now, those of you who have listened for a long time know that James Storm's theme song, in my arrogant-ass opinion, is the best theme song in wrestling right now. I mean, when whoever is singing on it hits that Johnny Cash listening little riff, man, my heart goes all aflutter. And when James Storm started reciting those lyrics in his Southern Preacher promo style, I did a little dance in my living room. Because I knew, James Storm, man, that dude, if anyone can make that song cooler, it's James Storm song-a-logging it as, you know, as part of a promo. I want that weekly. I want James Storm just to come out and be like, do you know who I am? I am the beer drinking, moonshine sipping, etc., etc. I would really appreciate seeing that. So Storm and Bully Ray had a nice little back and forth that made tonight's Bound for Glory series match between them seem like more than just a match for points. And in the middle of this segment, a disguised voice rang out. We soon found out that it was actually Bane. For those of you who didn't watch the show, by the way, no, Bane himself is not in the Aces and Eights. However, the guy had his mouth covered, and the disguised voice that they used sounded like Bane. So, I'm running with it. So, Bane talks from the back, and that's what I'm calling him, until, you know, we actually learn who it is. Bane said the Sting was calling him out, and they would do things on their term. It's basically it, and they were kind of like, stay tuned, later in the show, ba-da-boop-a-dip-ba. And then Ray went crazy, blaming Storm, and there was a commercial break that Ryan Kester, our Impact reaction guy, found awkward. I don't know what else you do there. I think you kind of go to commercial there anyways. But TNA replayed the words of Aces and Eights, and then we saw the Pope backstage. And the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, cut a promo about winning his four-way this Sunday in the Bound for Glory series. I think he's in the lower card, falls count anywhere, not the main event ladder match or the upper mid card tables match. He's in the lower card, falls count anywhere version. And He said he's going to win them 20 points, y'all. Mike Tanay and Taz recapped the Bound for Glory series standing, and Mr. Anderson joined them on commentary. I honestly forgot that Mr. Anderson joined them on commentary until I just read that. Like, I wrote my Pruitt's Pause article earlier in the day, and I normally try to comment on a little bit of everything. Didn't even remember that Mr. Anderson was on commentary. So, yeah. Rob Van Dam versus Magnus in a Bound for Glory series match was our first match. And, this was basically Rob Van Dam. This was Rob Van Dam winning with the 5-star frog splash in 3 minutes and 13 seconds to win 7 points. Anderson said almost nothing. It was more just, hey, I'm cutting a promo about my match on Sunday while you have this match. I remember commentary-wise, especially the finish came off as anticlimactic to me. So, I want to talk real quick as we bounce along in the show about Magnus. And about the potential that the Bound for Glory series seemed to hold for him. And if you've been listening for the last couple months, you know that when this started, I said, Magnus is my pick as your Dark Horse Final Four guy. And the reason why I said that is Magnus himself is he's a pretty talented individual. He just needs something to hang his hat on. I thought a good tag title run with Samoa Joe would have done it, but they wanted to move those belts onto Kazarian and Daniels, and you know, I can't really blame him for that. Although now it's like Kazarian and Daniels are, well, we'll get to them. So, you have Magnus here. He's in this series, and I thought, if there's one thing this guy can do, it's make it, you know, be the number 4 seed when they get to the final four, like, which I assume will be a tournament format that night, the night of No Surrender. Become the 4 seed, you know, make that top 4, final 4, whatever you want to call it. And then Magnus loses in the first round. But they talk about, and you can he can talk about it for the next year. Hey, last year in the Bound for Glory series, I came out of nowhere. No one picked me. I was in the final 4. I was that close. And this year, come Bound for Glory series time, I'm not going to miss that. You know, that ranks him pretty high up there. I think my picks for the final 4, by the way, were James Storm, Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, and Magnus. So, you know, I was close. It's still possible. Not entirely plausible, but it's still possible that I get this thing right. But I thought that Magnus was the perfect guy to put in there, because no one else in the series is ready for it. Pope has shown that he doesn't really belong in the main event. That character just doesn't. Jeff Hardy, not really surprising. You know, you can give Jeff Hardy a title shot anytime. And I know some people out there are saying that about Kurt Angle, but you got to have some legitimacy in that final four, and I think Angle, Joe, and Storm definitely bring that with them. Robbie E. obviously is not going to be in the final four of the Bound for Glory series, and the character isn't worth spending that much time building up. Ken Anderson, I think he's kind of shown what Pope's shown, that he doesn't belong at the top of the card in TNA. Bully Ray, I think Bully Ray's a guy that with the right babyface champion, you can give him a title shot. Easily. Like, you don't need the Bound for Glory series to do it. And I'm not even talking about Magnus winning the series. I don't believe Magnus should win the series. It's not his time. But I do think it is his time to go ahead and break out a little bit, to have something to bump him up competition-wise in the next year. Another suggestion for Magnus, now that I'm making them, just give the dude the TV title, let him do the weekly title defenses, let him cut promos, and have some fun with it. You know, let Magnus just, you know, dominate a division for a little bit, where people are coming, fighting him on a weekly or bi-weekly basis, and he's beating them. I don't know why that push went to the less talented Dudley instead of a guy like Gunner, as much as I hate to say it, who could use it, or a guy like Magnus, who could really use it, and I think is talented enough to justify it, unlike Gunner. Guys, I don't like Gunner. That's a running theme on this show. If you know me, you know I dislike Gunner strongly. I mean, I should probably put that in my Twitter profile. Nah, not really. And Gunner's a fine worker. Character-wise, he does nothing for me. That's where I'm getting. It's nothing personal. Like, I wouldn't walk up to the actual person that is Gunner and be like, I don't like you, sir. Because he would, like, kill me and eat my remains. Not that I'm saying he's a cannibal. Just take out that shovel, Willie. Keep digging. All right, Bobby Roode was backstage, and he was talking about the contract that's being presented for his match with Austin Aries on Sunday. And he said he's not happy with the terms, and What I liked about this, and it was a little thing, they built intrigue going into the contract signing about what the terms of the contract were and what they would be at the end of it. There was actual intrigued. That's not the right word. I was actually intrigued by the intrigue created discussing the contract here. So, what did that get us? We got, at the end, a contract negotiation and some stipulation changes. But they built up to it nicely. I'll get to those stipulation changes in a moment, and I'll really discuss them when I get to my preview and predictions. That's right, guys. You're getting a lot of content from me today. When I get to my little verbal preview of the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view. Couldn't remember the name, but I just did. And if you're looking for coverage of Hardcore Justice, maybe you're watching it, you plan to watch it, but man, you want a little more Hardcore Justice. You know, you want to know what someone else thinks. Your buddy can't come over that week, and you want to feel like you're talking to someone. Check out ProWrestling.net during the show. Jason Powell will be covering Hardcore Justice live, and also interjecting with his editorial point of view on occasion. I always keep up with, you know, I'm working on Sunday night. I plan on keeping up with the pay-per-view via Jason's coverage and then going back and watching it on Monday morning. So I can certify for you that is the way to do it. You can do that on ProWrestling.net. On the members side of things, man, you're doing that with no ads. There, you know, no one's trying to sell something to you while you're trying to watch that pay-per-view. That's pretty sweet, aside from membership, which you've already bought. And if you're on the go, on the run, maybe you're on a road trip, maybe you're doing something else that would involve going or running, check out the ProWrestling.net app on your smartphone. Anything that can download apps, there is a ProWrestling.net app for it. You download that app, man, totally free, and you get everything that goes on the main page of the site right there in your pocket. Convenient, open it up, you got your list of stories, man. It's how I keep up with the website. It's actually what got me to this website in the first place, was the app. I can't say enough good about it. God, I just took a mid-show break to shill. That's intense for me, guys. That's a lot of shilling. And we came back to TNA with... They went to commercial after that last segment. We came back with Claire's baby shower being replayed. And Claire was holding... They showed Claire holding, like, the creepy baby with the AJ Styles vest. And I was just like, this is weird. This is always going to be weird. I don't know why this is so weird. And then we got our second match of the night, which was Christopher Daniels and Kazarian versus Garrett Bischoff. One R, two T's, because that's not grammatically correct at all. That's how he spells his name, Garrett Bischoff. It's not even two R's, one T, which would make sense. Garrett Bischoff and D-Von versus Daniels and Kazarian for the TNA World Tag Team Championships of the World. That is how... Kazarian and Daniels were introduced as the TNA World Tag Team Champions of the World. And I felt like this match came out of nowhere. You know, Daniels and Kazarian, the focus on them has not had to do with their tag team titles lately. And this match just seemed to be a little bit random. And a little too random for my taste. With Daniels and Kazarian, I hoped that we'd see some good athletic tag team action out of them. And we did with the... you know, the one match with Angle and Styles. But we didn't see a whole lot else from them. And we haven't seen them really do anything but hold the belts lately. Tanay and Taz talked during the match about how D-Von and Garrett Bischoff had earned this match based on live event appearances as a tag team. And, the management thought they were ready. That was fine. Give them a number one contenders match on TV then. At least let us have that. Not a just random tag title match. I really disliked the random tag team championship match aspect of this. I thought it was a poor choice. At least as far as getting these guys over as you're doing the tag team title match. Garrett Bischoff looks better in the ring than when we last saw him. He's in there with two very capable guys. And I gotta say, if this match is happening on live events, I'm all for it. If this, you know, foursome is competing, because I can't think of better guys for Garrett to be in there learning with as opponents than Christopher Daniels and Kazarian and Frankie Kazarian, because they just know what they're doing. Like, they are intelligent dudes who know exactly what they're doing in the ring. They know how to get it done in the ring. And they can show him, hey, you know, they can go to the, when they go to the back or even in the ring, hey, try this out. Or when you're slamming me, you're doing this when you should be doing this. And, you know, they're technicians. They know what's up. D-Von, on the other hand, what's he going to do? This is how I do a spine buster. Look at my spine buster. D-Von is a perfectly capable wrestler, really. But, I mean, he's bloated. His moveset is silly. D-Von at this moment, I think, weighs more than Bubba Ray. Whoever would have thought that D-Von would weigh more than Bubba Ray? Or they're, I mean, they've got to be within 20 pounds of each other, at least. Like, D-Von looks freaking huge up top, and I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if he's retaining more water or what the deal is, but D-Von looks like massive, and Bubba Ray's like, I'm a slender dude. Yeah, I'm not a fan of D-Von. I'm not a fan of D-Von. Yeah, I just sang them about how much I don't really approve of D-Von. Seriously, though, let's get someone else in that TV title slot. In fact, what happened to the TV title? Anyways, this match, the finish came when Kazarian hit D-Von with a championship. I think it was the TV title, so at least it still exists. Behind the referee's back and covered him for the pinfall. I don't know why Daniels and Kazarian needed needed championship belts to beat D-Von and Garrett Bischoff. You know, let's just let them win. These are guys that you're expecting to sell pay-per-views based on their feud with AJ Styles. Also, Kazarian is in a higher profile role than he was, but when was the last time Kazarian had a pay-per-view match? Like, Slammiversary? Let's get on that ish, son. We had a recap of Sting and Brooke Hogan last week. And then he cut a promo backstage calling Aces and Eights out and saying he sent Brooke away. So, yeah. We saw a Hardcore Justice promo package that focused on the Bound for Glory series matches. And this was something interesting that I thought happened with this show. You have the big main event, Aries versus Rude at Bound for Glory. You step back and your next three matches are all four ways that are part of the Bound for Glory series. That are all part of the Bound for Glory series, you know, tournament point system. They're all worth 20 points, and they each have four guys in them. How do you promote that? How do you do a compelling go-home segment that makes someone say, I need to spend money on that? Because think about it. For the ladder match, the hook for that ladder match is, come see these dudes do insane things because you know they will. Daniels, AJ, Joe, and Angle with a ladder involved. It's going to be awesome. But that's your hook. Like, your hook is, dude, this match is going to be friggin' legit. You don't have a go-home for that. Like, short of those guys coming out and going, hey, our match is going to be legit. And then you had Storm and, you know, you had the Jeff Hardy and Robbie E segment and Storm and Bully Ray each kind of discussing tables, you know, because they're in the tables match. And then you had Mr. Anderson out there kind of promoting the False Count Anywhere match. But how do you do a compelling go-home that makes me say, take my money now, TNA. Just take it all. Here, I'm emptying my wallet at my cable company's office. Not that I would go to my cable company's office. I would order it from the cable box. But you guys know what I'm saying. How do you make that compelling? I don't think you can. With that many four-ways. One four-way, you can do an interesting segment, but you can't do three four-person in-ring segments in a night. So this show is a go-home. It was almost destined to fail. Because it was all about promoting, you know, like, three of the top four matches on this pay-per-view are four-way matches. So it was destined to, kind of fall flat as a go-home because there's no way to make me say I've got to see that. And they tried. They tried with segments like these. And even Angle versus AJ, they tried with it. So, moving on to one of those segments, we got Robbie E and Robbie T in the ring. Robbie E said he's got 5 points, he's going to win the series, he's going to win on Sunday, and he's going to do it by beating the guy that he beat for his 5 points, Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy came out, looked at Robbie E, they started fighting. Robbie T got involved, put Jeff Hardy through a table. Robbie E stood over Jeff Hardy on the table that he had just gone through. That was a cool visual. And That was the segment. Decent. You know, it promoted the pay-per-view. It said, hey, this Sunday, watch it. But it didn't make me feel like I had to, I guess. I'm supposed to go, I can't wait to see Jeff Hardy get his revenge. A quick note on the tables match, and heck, even a note on the Falls Count Anywhere match. I want to see those as elimination matches. Just tables matches where you just see one guy through a table aren't near as entertaining as elimination matches where you're going to get at least three table spots. So let's make that an elimination match. And heck, the Falls Count Anywhere match, it's more interesting to me to make it an elimination match. I think it makes it a little more fun to have it come down to a final two fighting for those 20 points. They're doing, TNA, by the way, is doing a really nice job of making the 20 points matter. You know, Mike Tenay and Taz talked on this show about how, hey, 20 points, that's a lot of points. Like, 20 points is the difference between the difference between having 25 and being in, like, 7th place, and having 45 and being in the top 4. It can shoot you up that high. So, kudos to them for making that feel important. We then said AJ Styles be like, how bad did the sex have to be for me not to remember it? That's how you make AJ Styles seem like a good guy in all of this. Man, I don't even remember hitting that. It must have been that bad. Oh! Yeah, AJ is not doing so hot on the still coming off like not a skis ball thing. So, yeah, AJ Styles doesn't remember the sex. Then we came back from commercial. I think AJ Styles was about to make his entrance when Samoa Joe came out and talked about the bias in TNA and how biased it is. He got on the announcer's headsets. He took, like, the bonus headset that lays there and said he's going to win this match at Hardcore Justice and he's going to show the world just how great he is, basically. Cool. I find it interesting. More so just as a trivial fact than anything else, but this was like the 2005 ROH main event scene getting to cut promos on commentary headsets week with Samoa Joe and CM Punk both cutting promos on the commentary headsets. Just, something that they wanted to do. I'm guessing it was a show of solidarity. Okay, I doubt it was anything more than a coincidence. Coincidentally, our next match was AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle. And yes, I just proved that I don't know the meaning of the word coincidence with my second use of it. I do actually know the meaning. I just wanted a good transition. Transitions are hard, man. Transitions are hard. AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle in a Bound for Glory series match. Dude, it's AJ Styles and Kurt Angle. They're not capable of having a bad match together. They just can't do it. Even if they were to try to really hard, like, if they said, we have to have a bad match tonight, they would go out there and have, like, you know, I'm not a star ratings guy. But they would go out there and have, like, a 3-star match and be like, was that bad? Because that's what they, you know, really, that's the standard of a bad match for them, is you're at least going to get that. Yes, I'm not a star ratings person, so let's call it a, you know, they would go out there and have a not super great match, basically. AJ Styles and Kurt Angle had a really good match that was Kurt Angle-tastic. It was Kurt Angle. This entire, you know, it just felt like Angle here. Because it was his lots of near falls. There's going to be lots of, tons of near fall. Tons of, what else? Tons of finishers. A lot of back and forth in the finishing sequence. This guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. It was classic Kurt Angle. And the formula works. The formula is great. The formula has been on Impact now for 3 or 4 weeks in a row, which makes it not work and not seem great because it's been on Impact for 4 weeks in a row. Someone's going to email me and say that's wrong. That's true. I'm not looking it up. But that's, you know, it's been on there for so long. We've seen that formula so many times that it's just like, let's cut the crap and give us a Pope match instead. And, you know, I'm not a big Pope guy, as I demonstrated, but give us a match with someone else in the series that matter, you know, and make them matter instead of showing us every Kurt Angle match and how it feels like a Kurt Angle match every time. He's one of the best wrestlers in history. But I think if I had to point to one thing I dislike about Angle, it's that he has a very formulaic match. Now, this approach worked for a guy like Ric Flair back in the 70s and 80s, because he was in a different town every night. He could work the same match with, you know, Wrestler X from Texas, then go, you know, up to Ohio, work the same match with that guy. And no one was the wiser there. But now, on national TV, on a weekly basis, more variety is expected out of you. It sucks. It really does. It's a bummer that you have to have that much variety. But that's your life. That's what you get into with wrestling. Kurt Angle defeated AJ Styles in 12:39 via pinfall for 7 points. And when Styles walked to the ring, Claire was clapping for him. They showed her chanting, "Let's go, AJ," during the match. And then as he left, Claire, kind of patted him on the back. She was sitting in the crowd and seemed supportive of him. And AJ looked at her all weird-like. So that was our Claire Lynch development this week, meaning that we're going to get to see more bad Claire promos from not this week, next week, on the Previously on Impact segment. Another Aces and Eights thing was shown with Bane bragging about their attacks. Then Mr. Anderson spoke with James Storm and was like, Hey, your boys said interesting things out there. What are your boys doing? And James Storm was like, "My boys, what are you talking about? Like, they're not, yeah." And Anderson goes, "Yeah, well, if they come after me, if your boys come after me, I'm gonna do something about it." That was pretty much exactly what he said. Oh no, he said, "I'm gonna have a discussion with you." Oh, they about to get in a verbal debate? That's how we were supposed to, like, they're about to discuss a mish, is what we were supposed to be saying. Not like, holy crap, Anderson's so threatening, but man, Anderson, he's gonna talk to him about things. Yeah. Austin Aries then was on the phone, and Herbie came up and asked him about the contract stuff, and Aries said he's gonna settle it in the ring. He doesn't know what the issue is. Gil Kim and Miss Tessmacher fought in a non-title match that wasn't that great, but the finishing sequence was one of the best that I have seen in a woman's match in a long time. No, I don't watch Shimmer or Shine. I don't want to watch indie women's wrestling. I'm sorry. Just don't have time for it. Don't have time for most indie wrestling, so what you gonna do? But this was the prototype to me of what a finishing sequence should be. It was surprising. It didn't overplay the finisher thing the way a Kurt Angle finishing sequence does. And it was fun to watch. It was exciting. The last 30 seconds of this 3-minute and 37-second match are must-see to me. Tessmacher continues to improve. Madison Rain came to the ring afterwards, had a stare-off with Earl Hebner, or with Miss Tessmacher, with Earl Hebner in the middle. Then she kissed Earl Hebner. Earl fell over. Like, Earl took a hell of a bump off of that kiss. I don't even understand it. And that was it. We saw a Kenny King video where Kenny King said, I gave up a lot to come here. I took the risk of a lifetime, and getting to the top of the Impact Zone would mean so much, you know, would be what it's all about. So Kenny King got his video package here. I wish that they would have done something on this show to make Zema Ion, you know, they gave Kenny King some time, but to help the Zema Ion character a little bit, because I feel like Zema Ion needs it right now. Zema Ion really needs the help. And he, they ignored his character for 3 months, then put the X Division title on him, and that's not going to get him over. Why not give him some help? Why not build up that character a bit? Why not give him, like, at least equal time with Kenny King? Heck, I would say on this show, let's cut out that Rob Van Dam match. Oh, by the way, there was a funny moment in the Rob Van Dam match where Taz talked about how thick Rob Van Dam was. And I'm like, by thick, you mean fat these days. Yeah, he's a little hefty. Van Dam's gained some weight, you know. His Ryback singlet kind of covers it up, but he's gained some weight. I would love to see Van Dam versus Ryback in a match. For one reason, Van Dam would sell a clothesline from Ryback, like, on his head. And the other reason, it's just all singlet action, which you know will be awesome. But I would cut Rob Van Dam versus Magnus on this show and give us a verbal segment backstage, even just a Zema Ion tune-up match, and then have Kenny King come out and do commentary on it, and make that a focus. That was a one-on-one rivalry. that you could have focused on this show, which is what I'm talking about with the other rivalries. You can focus on this one-on-one feud, Zema Ion versus Kenny King, and escalate the issue to the point that the pay-per-view match feels important without taking anything away from the four ways. If anything, you're making them more must-see. I don't know. That's just me. I think Ion versus King was a missed opportunity to help Zema Ion's character get over, to enhance Kenny King a little bit. I mean, I'm sure they'll have a great match in the pay-per-view, and I hope it's not slotted in the opening match kind of hole. Then we saw Sting come to the ring, and he summoned Aries and Rude. Rude came out, then Aries came out. Rude is doing some awesome character work right now that is really phenomenal. Just being the paranoid former champion. And the remarkable thing about his, about what he's doing as the paranoid former champion is he's just saying, hey, it's basically him just going, hey, I lost the belt, so now I'm nervous and scared. That's it. Like, that's, you know, it's, so my confidence is shaken when it used to be rock solid, and this is the effect it's had on me. It's subtle character work, but I think it's really, really high quality stuff that we're getting from Rude since he lost the belt. It wasn't so subtle that first week, but now he's kind of worked it all together, and it's going really well. Aries is a phenomenal guy to hold the world championship and just be a cocky SOB about it. Right now, he's a good cocky SOB. Like, he's your baby-faced cocky son of a B. That's a great role for Austin Aries. This segment was Rude being upset that there was a clause that said as long as Austin Aries has the... If Austin Aries retains the title, as long as Aries has the title, he will, he won't get a rematch. Interesting clause right there. I think it, you know... And Rude was upset about it. So Aries, you know, kind of said, let's cut the crap here. You know what? I will give up my, you know, sign this contract. Let's get this thing over with. And as long as, and I will give up my rematch as well. Ding. Flag shot up. They kind of are telegraphing the pay-per-view finish with that, I think. We'll get into that later. But I also think it's a really good move. Aries justified it as a babyface by going, if you, by some way, you know, win it in a fluke and he's confident. I'll get into my prediction on that and where I think they're going with that story a little bit later in this audio. But really good verbal segment between them. We saw a Chavo and Hernandez little video of them talking backstage. And then we saw Kid Cash and Gunner. Tag team match happens on pay-per-view. Today and Taz ran down the entire Hardcore Justice card. Then we got James Storm versus Bully Ray in a Bound for Glory series match. Now, notice, we have not had the Aces and Eights come out at all on this show. Which is what I was saying. They did nothing. So this felt like a repeat of last week's main event, where we're waiting for the Aces and Eights, and waiting for the Aces and Eights, and they're not showing up. But Bully Ray and James Storm put on a heck of a match here that James Storm ended up winning with the Bully Cutter, Bubba Cutter, whatever you want to call it, the Cutter, at 10:45 to get himself 7 points in the Bound for Glory series. I like the thought to kind of reestablish Bully Ray right now. I don't know where they go with him. I could even see a babyface turn with Aces and Eights coming in and him being vocally against that group. I worry about that, just that it feels too NWO-ish with, like, Horsemen versus them. But I could definitely see that happening. Bully Ray is doing great work, and they're reestablishing him as a threat, which he wasn't in his feud against Joseph Park. By the way, the Joseph Park feud, where did that go? Like, it feels like he's in a holding pattern. He had that moment where he was kind of Abyss-esque, and now they're like, wait. We don't want to. We have this lawyer storyline now, and we don't want to reveal that he's Abyss yet. We want to have some more fun with it, so we're gonna wait. That's how this feels to me. But yeah, the match ended, and then we saw Aces and Eights showing up on the big screen, saying, you know, Bane saying that he'll be on the pay-per-view. Guys, I want to hang out in that Aces and Eights man cave. Looks like they're sitting around, talking like Bane, wearing masks, playing poker. looks legit. Like, that is a man cave right there. Cigars, masks, poker, Batman voice. That place looks awesome. Like, Aces and Eights man cave, that's where I want to vacation without my wife. So, that was the show. To me, kind of a thumbs down effort. The lack of any real one-on-one feuds, aside from the Aries versus Rude feud being hyped, really hurt it for me. That was something that I was really hoping to see that I didn't get here, and I thought they missed an opportunity to hype some of those. The random tag team match that wasn't that great, the Rob Van Dam and Pope match that wasn't that great, you know, all of these things add up to make it a thumbs down show. Now, let's flip it around. With Impact, it's so hard, because for the longest time, we were grading Impact on a curve, and everyone was, you know. It was a decent show by TNA standards. TNA standards now are as high as WWE standards for me. Meaning, and yet sometimes still when I watch a show and it's just meh bad, like, yeah, it wasn't my favorite. It wasn't a great show. And not atrociously bad, I'm like, TNA! TNA! Like, I'm chanting that ish. Because not atrociously bad is still good sometimes, you know, in TNA history. I'm not chanting it here. That's not my, That's not what I'm doing here. I'm telling you, it wasn't a great show. It wasn't really a good show. But it wasn't an atrociously bad show. It was just a mildly bad show. So, nice work, TNA, keeping those standards high. Now, let's talk Destination X. I'm going to do a quick little pre-bizzle for you. And, of course, for all of your Destination X coverage, check out ProWrestling.DestinationX. Am I drunk? Hardcore Justice! I'm not drunk, by the way. I'm recording this on Friday, not Thursday. Sometimes with those Thursday audios, guys, not gonna lie, sometimes you get tipsy, Will. That's always the most professional thing I can say. Anyone looking to employ me that for some reason has listened to this much of a wrestling podcast in an attempt to get to know me, I'm so sorry. I'm gonna be great for your company. I'm a legit worker, and I give great high fives, so talk to me about those. And I'm sorry that you listen to this much of a wrestling podcast. Just in general. And by, like, via principle, I'm sorry about it. So, Hardcore Justice. I'm on the TNA website right now. Did you know, that as a special preview for the big event, TNAOnDemand.com is offering a free view of the 2010 Hardcore Justice event that was the ECW reunion event. That's a thing, guys. That is a thing that they are doing. Oh, that's a bummer. So, let's start from the bottom, work our way up. Bottom of the card on the TNA website. Of course, well, what is this random slide? Oh, official Hardcore Justice music video with some chick with bad lipstick. Nope. X Division title match. Kenny King versus Zema Ion. I'm going to pick Zema Ion going over in this one. Should be a very good match. I hope it's not the opener. I think they should open it with the Falls Count Anywhere four-way match. You got 20 points on the line. You can make a big deal out of that. The action's going to be crazy and intense. The Impact Zone is actually one of my favorite places to watch Falls Count Anywhere matches because the crowd is always around the match. So, I open it with that. But Kenny King versus Zema Ion, good match. I think you're going to see Ion barely beat King, probably via some sort of cheatitude. Kid Cash and Gunner versus Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. Chavo and Hernandez are meant to go over here, and I think en route to a tag team title shot, which they will probably win. LAX 3, 4, 7.0 with the tag team titles. Hernandez, man. Who hasn't he held tag team gold with, you know? He's like Matt Morgan, who he's also held tag team gold with. Madison Rayne versus Miss Tessmacher. Earl Hebner is going to be the ref. I see Madison Rayne winning this one. Earl Hebner cheating to give it to her and them kind of building the Knockouts division around Madison Rayne having the referee in her pocket. I think it's a mistake, and I don't think they should do it, but I do believe they will. Falls Count Anywhere, Anderson, Van Dam, Pope, and Magnus. My heart wants to go with Magnus. I want Magnus to have, like, a sudden comeback in this thing. Hell, even just missing the Final Four, that is a story. And that's, I like the Bound for Glory series as much as I do, because there are a lot of stories that can come out of it. hey, I was the set. I was the runner-up. I came this close in the series. That's a story. I, you know, of course, winning the Bound for Glory series is a story. I just missed the Final Four. One more victory and I could have done it. That's a story. That is motivation for your character for a year. Like, I got into the Final Four and then I lost it. I proved myself by getting there. That's a story. I know I'm saying that's a story a lot, but I really believe that there are some great stories that TNA can tell with the Bound for Glory series that they do, for the most part. But I want to say, Magnus, I think they like Van Damme and Anderson right now. I'll go with Anderson to win it. Just total random guess. Bound for Glory series tables match, Jeff Hardy versus James Storm versus Bully Ray versus Robbie E. I don't think Storm wins it because he's already ahead in points. This is an easy victory to give to Bully Ray, but I don't know that they will do that given that Bully Ray was on a, you know, walked out standing tall on Impact. Jeff Hardy, I think, could use the points to still be in the contest. So let's give them to Jeff Hardy. 20 points his way, winning this tables match, probably with an insanely dangerous Swanton Bomb. Yeah, gonna need some pain pills to get over that one. Golly. Ladder match in the Bound for Glory series. AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle versus Christopher Daniels versus Samoa Joe. This is a toughie. On the one hand, you've got AJ Styles in there, and he's pretty far back, and winning this could make him a contender. You've got Daniels in there, but they have not shown a commitment to giving Daniels any sort of victory in any match, really. Kurt Angle is in there. This would shoot him up towards the top of the standings. I don't have him open right now. And Samoa Joe is in there. This would give him, you know, he's lost a fair amount of ground to James Storm lately. James Storm has pulled ahead a lot. Joe could use this match to gain some ground back. Ultimately, I give it to AJ Styles to keep him in the Bound for Glory series standings and give him something to fight for the next month. Finally, the Big Papa World Heavyweight Championship. Bobby Roode versus Austin Aries. No rematch. No excuses. Last time, this is it. I give this one to Bobby Roode via interference from the Aces and Eights. I think you're going to see Aces and Eights come out and take out both Roode and Aries somehow. And Roode is going to do the old Shawn Michaels and Hell in a Cell crawl on top of after being decimated and win the title that way. It, you know, Aries was cheated out of the title and he agreed to not have a rematch in order to get Roode to agree to have the match. You kind of make him look valiant in that. And now you have Austin Aries set up to lead the babyface portion of the roster to lead them against the Aces and Eights. I think you put him in that top leadership role. You don't have him as your secondary guy. I don't even think you put him under Sting. Maybe he tries to recruit Sting for the big match at Bound for Glory, against the Aces and Eights. But I think you do that with Aries, give him some time in the Aces and Eights feud, let it become this vicious blood feud, and then you put him back in the title picture when you kind of settle or when you simmer down on James Storm versus Bobby Roode. I think rebounding the title back to, or boomeranging the title back to Aries is not, or back to Roode is not a bad thing. Aries doesn't really get hurt by it because now he's a former world champion and he's done that. I don't think the story between Roode and Storm will have been compromised. In fact, I think they've done more to build and enhance that story in the last month than they have since lockdown when they were about to fight each other. I still think Roode versus Storm matters. And the build to that wasn't compromised by Austin Aries winning the title like a lot of people thought it would be. That's just my thoughts on the issue. If you have something else to say, hit me up via email. Hit me up via Twitter. Do what you do. Hit me up in the .NET members forum. Again, guys, ProWrestling.net. This Sunday, Hardcore Justice. Follow along with us. Read along with us. Interact with us. Have some fun with it. Thank you guys for listening to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. This is Will Pruitt, and I'm going to stop talking to my computer and watch Team USA advance to the gold medal round in the Olympics in basketball again. Peace.